A very good morning. Let us turn to our passage for this morning, and that is from the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, and let us look at chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. And it is on the topic, who is he that withholdeth? Who is he that withholdeth? Now, sometimes, you know, as we perhaps witness to others, we talk about God and talk about Christ. Now, people might come and ask you this question. If God is a good God, or if there is such a thing as God, or if God is a powerful God, why does he allow all this suffering? Why does he allow war? Why does he allow, you know, this sort of chaos and turmoil that we see in the world around us? And while there may be various ways to answer this question, perhaps one approach or one thought that we can have, while it may not be that people ask you this question, but yet as we see the chaos in the world around us, as we see, I mean, right now what is happening, there is war. War in the Middle East. And this is a full-blown, full-fledged war, yes. Terrible things are happening. War in Ukraine, and I think the battle has also been brought into Russia right now. So both, war in Ukraine and war in Russia. People are dying, people are suffering, families are being torn apart. And everywhere, you know, other places throughout the world, there is persecution, there is crime, there are all sorts of things happening. And the question will be asked, why? Why does a good God allow these things to happen? But perhaps another angle that we can look at this issue from is actually it could be far, far worse. Far, far worse. Because what we are seeing play out is not the negligence of God. It is not that God is not a good God. But this is the reality of the sinfulness of men. And the truth is, God is, to an extent, withholding further or far more terrible or worse things from happening. That if it were not for the grace of God, we are but one step away from complete and total chaos. Because if men were allowed to just run free by themselves without any withholding from God, without any restraining influence or power from God, the reality is that man, in his sin, in his selfishness, in his greed, in his pride, will cause this world to descend into complete chaos. That is the reality. And so instead of asking, you know, if God is so good, why does he not allow these things to happen and things like that? Really, the thing that we should say is thank God. Thank God that this world is at least in some semblance of order. That we can meet in this way. Is it not a good thing? That we can continue to go forth and to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. That daily we are not pushed down or blocked by persecution. That we can have some measure of comforts and, I would dare say, prosperity in this life. And yes, while that may not be enjoyed by everyone around the world, it comes and goes, right? And different nations, different peoples throughout the world will go through different phases in life. And this is all happening, all flowing by the wisdom of God, and is within his wise decrees. Because what the Bible tells us here in this passage here is that there is one whom the Bible here describes as what withholdeth. Or in verse 7, he who now letteth will let. Now what are all these describing? It's all describing the same thing. He which withholdeth, or you can say he which prevents, he which restrains. It's all the same idea here. And just cutting through all the mystery, I'll just give you the answer right now. We are talking about the Holy Spirit. We are talking about the Holy Spirit. That if there were no Holy Spirit working in this world, then the Bible says that the mystery of iniquity will work and will work in a full-fledged manner. the wicked, the Antichrist, will arise, and Satan will have full and complete reign over this world. Because even right now, the Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of this world, the god of this world. And you say that he has actually quite a fair bit of autonomy in doing his wickedness in this world around us. And that is why we see suffering. That is why we see chaos. Because Satan, he is the wicked one. He is the evil one. He is delighted in the sufferings and the turmoil of this world. He is the one who empowers the Antichrist, who is described as the man of sin and the son of perdition. We saw that in the previous passage. And here another description is given. It is the mystery of iniquity. The word iniquity here is literally lawlessness. He is the one of no law. Now, the word mystery here, as I've mentioned a number of times, describes something that was previously hidden, but then later on revealed, right? That's what a mystery is, right? It's something that is relatively unknown, or not all the details are known of it, but in time to come, the mystery is solved, the mystery is known, and then it is revealed. And so the word mystery here is used to describe the Antichrist because, yes, we do not have the full, complete understanding of who the Antichrist is, but one day it will be revealed. But the what he's characterized by here is the concept of lawlessness. And that is who he is. That is what he thrives on. That is what he delights in. That is what Satan wants in this world. Lawlessness. Destruction. That's the meaning of the word perdition. Sin. For sin to abound. That is what he is seeking for. That's what he's aiming for. And that is what we see the world headed in today. But it's not just about the wars and the chaos, but the mindset and the thinking, the direction of culture and society is also towards lawlessness. It is towards sin. It is towards chaos. And if not for the working of the Holy Spirit, if not for he which it withholdeth, this world today will be far, far worse than what we have right now. But the larger context of what is going on here is that Paul is telling us that it is not yet happened. Meaning to say that right now, that which withholdeth continues to withhold. That which lets, which the meaning of the word let is the word prevent. Same word for withholding, right? Same for withholding. It's withholding. It is working right now. And so Paul was writing to give them a glimpse of some of the things that will happen at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Remember, the larger context was that some of them were worried. Some of them were shaken in mind and troubled, thinking that the Lord's day had already come. And so Paul writes to them here in 2 Thessalonians to tell them that no, it has not happened yet. Because before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are certain things that will have to happen. And at the coming of Christ, after the event of the rapture that we had talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, then a sequence of other events will happen, that it will be very, very clear, very distinct. You will know that the Lord has come, because there will be a series of global events that will happen that makes it very, very clear that Christians are taken up, caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and then the Antichrist, will arise, and it will be very, very evident to all. But what he's saying right now is that the Antichrist has not yet been revealed, right? Verse 3, that Son of Man be revealed, the son of perdition, the man of sin, rather, be revealed, the son of perdition, but it has not yet been revealed. But what he then goes on to explain in verses 5, 6, and 7 is that the reason why Antichrist has not yet been revealed, the reason why the end has not come yet, is because of the work of him which withholdeth. And that's what we want to talk about today. Because as we think about the withholder, it is a doctrine, is a teaching of actually great comfort to us right now, knowing that we are not alone in this world. See, God has not just left the world to run as it is, and that he has no influence at all or no direction over the events of everything that is happening in this world. No, God is hard at work. God is withholding. God is preventing sin and Satan's influence from running amok throughout this world. So that is who we are talking about right now. And firstly, we want to really establish the identity of the withholder. Right? Who is this withholder? Who is this person that the Bible is here speaking of? So as I mentioned just now, if you look at verse 6 and verse 7, right, the word withholdeth, right, in verse 6, and he who now lets, right, is the same root word. It has the meaning of the idea of grabbing hold of something, right? Grabbing hold of something, holding fast. Right, that's how it's sometimes translated as. So it has idea of restraining or hindering, having a tight rein on something. That's perhaps a phrase in the English that we will use today that describes the same idea, right? Having a tight hold or having a tight rein or something, stopping or preventing, right? Anything that you are holding on to. Right, so you sort of imagine, you know, a child who wants to run off and run amok and maybe do certain misdeeds or misbehaviors or something destructive, and you as a parent, you are withholding him, you're preventing him, you're grabbing hold on him, ensuring that he will not do that, well, naughty thing that he intends to do. So that is who he that withholdeth is. Right, so you notice, you know, in verse 6, it is sort of more depicted as a what? A force, as if you may. Right? There is a force that is withholding he. And who is he? It refers to the mystery of iniquity, the Antichrist. So he is preventing the Antichrist from coming forth fully or is in an entirety. And he is also describing as he who now lets. So it is both, in a sense, a force, right? Because that is the effects of what the Antichrist is doing. There is a power that is causing or preventing the Antichrist from rising. But he's also described in verse 7 as a person, because that is who the Holy Spirit is. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is God. Remember, the Trinity, there are three persons in the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so the focus here is on the third person of the Trinity, the one whom Jesus promised will come after he departs. Not to say that the Holy Spirit was not already present when Jesus was there, but it's speaking of the fact that the ministry of the Holy Spirit, well, that which takes prominence after the resurrection of Christ, because Christ will no longer be physically present on this earth, but it does not mean that God has departed. It does not mean that God has abandoned us. No. Therein lies the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that right now, present in every believer, is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit continues to work, to guide us, strengthen us, enable us, to guide us into all truth, to convict this world of sin. And that is just some of the things that the Holy Spirit is doing right now, ensuring that this world runs along as it is, as it does. Okay? And so, you know, if you look at the word let, you know, why is it then translated as let? Because in our modern English, I mean, the word let means allow. Okay? But actually, if you go sort of check the older dictionaries, Old English, the word let actually has the very opposite meaning. And some words are like that, right? Over time, the meaning changes. Like the word literally. Literally means that it is actually something literal. It is exactly as it is described. Today we actually use it in the opposite way. Oh, it is literally that. No, it's not literally. It is actually not. It's figuratively. And that's what it means. But anyway, that's how the nature of the word evolves over time. I don't know if any of you play squash, the racket game. Sort of like tennis where you hit against the wall, right? And in the rules of squash, because, you know, it's two people running around inside an enclosed area. A lot of times there may be situations where you are running for the ball, but then you are blocked by the opponent, and so you can't get to the ball. and there is a certain foul that you call. In squash, the rules are that if you are running towards the ball and you are blocked by your opponent, you raise your racket, you look to the judge and say, "Let please." I always thought that's very strange. Who's letting who? And then after I looked deep into it and I studied this passage actually, and then I realized, oh, that's what it means. It's actually Old English from "I was prevented, I was blocked," right? I was prevented from getting to the ball and therefore call a let. And then the judge makes a ruling and says, all right, play a let. What does it mean? It's not that he allows. Actually, it's because he prevented you. He blocked you. And therefore, you reserve. That's the rules, okay? There's another one where it's called stroke, where, you know, he was blocking your stroke. So two rules, right? If I'm on the way to the ball, you play a let. If I actually was really going to hit the ball, but he's in my way, then you play a stroke. Anyway, that's squash. But basically, it's to say that in Old English, let means prevent or blocked or hindered. And so when you read this phrase here, he who now lets will let, right? That means he who is now preventing, right? He who is now preventing will no longer prevent until he, he who is now preventing is preventing. That means he who is blocking, he who is restraining the Antichrist will continue to restrain until he is taken out of the way. That means until the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, that is when the Antichrist will rise. And so what Paul is trying to explain to them and actually comfort them is the fact that Holy Spirit is active. The Holy Spirit is working. And that is the reason why there is no widespread chaos, global anarchy right at the present. And that is what Jesus promised his disciples also, that as I go away, there is this other comforter that will come to you. And what will he do when he comes? He will reprove, meaning to say he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John 16 verse 8. That is what the Holy Spirit will come to do, will come to convict, will warn the world that there is such a thing as sin, and that righteousness is what we must seek after. And if we do not seek after righteousness, if we continue in sin, God will judge. That is what the Holy Spirit convicts us of. And that is something that I'm sure all of us have experienced. That is how we were born again. The Holy Spirit convicted us. Because why else will we be concerned at all about following God and obeying His commandments? There is no reason to, unless we receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And that is what the Holy Spirit continues to do from generation to generation. The Holy Spirit has continued to work from the time that the Lord departed all the way until now, 2,000 years. And of course, all the way before that, from the beginning of man. The Holy Spirit has been hard at work, ensuring that those whom God saves will be saved, that they will understand the seriousness of sin, they will understand the need for righteousness, and they will be warned about the dangers of judgment. And that is to an extent what restrains this world right now, because of the work of the Holy Spirit. So that is who this passage is talking about here, right? Because, well, the Holy Spirit is the only one that fits the bill, the only one who has indeed the power to overcome Satan. Because, yes, Satan is powerful. No man can stand against the power of the devil. Only God can. And that is why he has sent us the Holy Spirit. All right? So he who now lets, or he who now prevents, as we understand it to be, the withholding power that is ensuring that this world is as it is, the one who is working out the will of God in this world, is none other than the third person of the Holy of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, or how the Bible sometimes translates as the Holy Ghost. But what then is the ability of this withholder? That's the second thought we're going to have. Right? We talked about the identity. It is the Holy Spirit. What is it that he can do? What is the ability of this withholder? So verse 6 tells us, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." So I know there's a number of this he and he and he here and there. You have to be careful understanding the context of who the he's are talking about or referring to. Okay, so verse 6, who, you know what withholdeth, that's speaking about the Holy Spirit. So basically, he's telling them, well, this is something that you understand. So likely, it was something that he explained to the Thessalonians already when he was there. That's why he did not elaborate too much about it. He's telling them, you already know. You've heard about that. I taught you these things. Right? And so he says, don't you remember when I was with you, I taught you these things? And so now you know, right, what it is that is withholding, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit that is withholding, that he, and he is referring to the Antichrist, right? Verse 3 and verse 4, the man of sin, the son of perdition, right? The one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. He says, he is not yet revealed, right? Not yet. Only in God's time will there come the revelation of the Antichrist. But you also remember, right? Previously, when we talked about the whole concept of the Antichrist, 1 John tells us that it is already at work. That means to say that in every generation, at all times, Satan has his agents working. Because you remember, Satan does not know when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. He's preparing for it. He's doing all he can to raise certain individuals to be those who will oppose Christ. And so that's what John told us. Even back then, he says, already right now, Antichrist is hard at work. Satan is hard at work. Right? Satan is hard at work raising his agents. Satan is hard at work seeing too that there will be these people that are doing all they can to oppose Christ. But it is not yet fully revealed. That means to say that these wicked, terrible individuals are still, to an extent, restrained by God. And that is what, you know, the Holy Spirit is doing right now. And that's the whole idea of the withholding, right? He is restraining Satan. He's seeing to it that Satan will not have free reign in this world. And that is an idea of great comfort to us, right? Because, you know, Antichrist, when he arrives, he will be, you know, with all power and signs and lying wonders. He will have the ability to capture the hearts of all the people in the world. They will bow down to him and worship and exalt him as if he is God. That's what verse 4 tells us, right? And that's a terrifying thing for an individual to have such worldwide influence. And I mean, yes, in the past, there have been some individuals that the world remembers that have had some measure of this wicked influence, that he has controlled the hearts of men to do his bidding to an extent, right? I mean, right now we see some of that. We see, you know, all the wars that are happening, right? We see some of the dictatorships in some parts of the world where they have, to a limited extent, captured the hearts of some of their followers such that they are willing to follow him. Follow him into a senseless war that we see taking place. We hear of Hitler in World War II, right? Stalin over Russia. And maybe you can even add Putin right now, in Russia right now, right? Or Hamas. And the terrible atrocities that are taking place. You know, these are certain powers, forces, individuals that have captured the hearts, but to a limited extent. Because what the Bible tells us is that, yes, while there are antichrists already in this world, the Bible warns us, right, there is that satanic influence, cult leaders, for example, or some sort of religious leaders that have certain amount of influence over their followers, and they lead them to do their very, very terrible things. But it is limited. Limited. Why? Not because God is too weak to control them, rather the opposite, that God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, withholds. God is withholding. Because if men were allowed to just be fully sinful and do whatever they want and have free reign, then actually far, far more worse and terrible things actually will happen. Because ultimately, Satan reports to God. Satan cannot do anything without God's permission. You remember the account of Job, right? When Job went up and down throughout the world, what was he doing? He was surveying. He was up to mischief. He was up to his no good. But God was the one that had authority over him. And Satan had to seek permission from God before he was allowed to do anything to Job at all, right? And God gave limits and bounds as to what he could do to Job, because God continues to restrain. God is ultimately more powerful, of course, than God. And that's what the Bible tells us, isn't it? That greater is he that is in us, that is in you, than he that is in the world. And that's actually, again, in the context of the passage speaking about the Antichrist, 1 John chapter 4. Right? 1 John chapter 4. He says that there is that spirit of Antichrist, where if ye have heard that it should come, and even right now is it already in the world. Right? So the Bible tells us, yes, at every generation, from the time of the Apostle John, there were already, right, the work of the Antichrist through Satan's power, right, causing people to rebel and turn against God. But then the very next verse tells us in verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome who? Overcome the spirit of the Antichrist. Overcome satanic influences. Why? Because greater is he that is in you. Who is in us? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Every single believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, than Satan and all his forces and all his influences. That is why Satan right now is withheld. Satan is not allowed to do anything that he wants. Yes, he does cause chaos and trouble and turmoil in this world to a limited extent, only insofar as God allows him to. And we know that in God's infinite wisdom, everything that he allows to happen is for a reason. Because you look in the Bible, and there have been so many accounts of, yes, very tragic and terrible things that have been happening as well. Job, for example, unbearable suffering. Joseph, and we've been going through this at our SBS, very, very terrible things that have happened to him, happened to individuals, happened to nations also, time and again. The nation of Israel, nation of Judah, they came under the attacks, slaughters, massacres, very, very terrible things when they were laid siege to by Nebuchadnezzar. All these things happened. They were taken captive. The whole nation was destroyed. Jerusalem was razed to the ground. He said, what, God was not powerful enough? No, God allowed these things to happen for a reason. And so what we understand is that, you see, God is in control, but from time to time, in accordance to his wisdom, he allows certain things to happen, perhaps to enable us to see the wickedness of men, or perhaps to punish us for sins that we have committed, to chastise us. Or certain things are allowed to happen so that, well, his purpose may be made known, his will for what the world is and how the world will come to pass. All these things happen in according to God's perfect plan and wisdom. And what is happening is that, you know, the Holy Spirit, is withholding until he might be revealed in his time. So meaning to say also that, you know, the Holy Spirit not only has the power to restrain Satan, but also he knows, well, the timing of when things will happen. And so, yeah, it culminates in the rise of the Antichrist, but also all throughout man's history. God is also, in according to his perfect time, allowing or withholding things from happening or happen, allowing things to happen or withholding things from happening. Again, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. All things are in the power of God. And so it is only in God's time, right, that he will be revealed, that the Antichrist will be allowed to rise and have that full-fledged power over all the affairs of men. Because right now, it has not happened yet. Yes, there are very influential global leaders, but they are not, as how is described in verse 4, worship as if they are God, and how everyone will bow down to him. It's not happened yet. To a limited extent, yes, there have been people that have you know, captured the attention and hearts of perhaps millions of people, but not everyone. But when the Antichrist arises, he will. That beast that the Bible describes of in Revelation, the world will worship, and we saw that in our message 2 weeks ago. But not yet, not yet. And that is the ability, that's the power that the Holy Spirit has right now, that all things will only come to pass in God's perfect time. Not because Satan is too powerful and then God has no choice. All right, fine, you are allowed to come forth. No. It will only happen when God says it is to happen. And that is the power, that's the ability of the withholder. Because greater is he, greater is the Holy Spirit that is in us than Satan who is out there in the world. And what is his work? Well, it is the work of opposition. Verse 7, right? So we talk about ability, and I mean very closely related is, well, actually, what is he then doing? What is the Holy Spirit doing right now? He is preventing. That's the main idea here. He is opposed to evil. And so there is here, verse 7, it says that the mystery of iniquity actually is already working, right? He is already working, and that's what we're saying just now. That there are out there already many antichrists in this world. The satanic influences are everywhere. The chaos and the turmoil that man is facing is to a limited extent the fact that the mystery of iniquity, and we mentioned that just now, this one who is now hidden and not revealed yet, but it is already working. It is already working. That means Satan is continually preparing or trying his very best to gain global dominance, because that is ultimately what Satan wants. He wants the hearts of men to worship him as if he is God. That's what caused his fall in the first place, right? He exalted himself above God. He wanted to be worshipped as God, and that's what caused him to fall. And with that, that has always been his objective from the beginning of time, really, until now. In the Garden of Eden, what did he do? He went and tempted Eve, wanting to turn the first man and woman to ever been created to his side. And that's what he's been trying to do. And so he is already working. This lawlessness, right, this word here, this mystery, or you can say this individual of lawlessness is already working. Satan's objective is chaos and anarchy, because that's where he thrives. That is where he will be worshipped. God, of course, is a God of law and of righteousness and of holiness. These are two opposing things. And so the Bible says already it is working, right? Even now there are many antichrists working. That's what the Bible warns us. But God alone is the one that prevents, ensures that the antichrist is not coming forth. And so he who now lets, or as we understood it to be, prevents, he with his withholding will keep on withholding. And that is our assurance. That is our assurance. And the only reason why right now there is peace in the world, the only reason right now we are allowed to worship God, we are allowed to seek after him, that we have the freedom to go forth and share the gospel, it is what God has granted to us. And we should really then seize this opportunity that as long as we have this peace, as long as we are able to freely share the gospel to the people around us, why don't we? Because that is why he who is letting is now letting. He who is now preventing or withholding is withholding. So that we now have the opportunity to go forth and serve the Lord. But you see, the sad thing about it is that, you know, we enjoy the peace, we enjoy the freedom, but we just use it for our own selfish, sinful pleasures. Yes, there are many things to enjoy, especially in a country like the one that we're in right now, a land of prosperity, a land of freedom, right? But instead of using this then as an opportunity that we can serve the Lord and share the gospel, we just indulge in the things of the world. And we turn an eye on what is happening to, you know, the Middle East, and they say, oh, so, you know, so poor thing, you know, is they're living in struggle, they're struggling, and they don't have freedom and things like that. Yeah, we lament about what is happening there. But do we take advantage of the freedom that we have right now to serve the Lord and not just to indulge in our own pleasures? Because he who is letting will let until he be taken out of the way. Because one day, the Holy Spirit will be gone. In what way? In what way? Well, for one, who is the Holy Spirit working through right now? He's working through the church, right? And so as long as there are Christians present in this world, Satan is restrained, right? Because there are, all throughout the world, people who seek after God and who seek to be faithful to him, who do his bidding, who do his work. And in a sense, actually, in all the world around us, in nations where believers, countries, Christianity is well established, I mean, generally speaking, right, there is also relative peace. There is that sense or measure of protection. In a sense where if God's presence is more felt or more evident or known in that country or in that region, in that land, relative peace follows as well. Of course, this is a very general statement and there may be exceptions to that. But generally speaking, you look at the history of the Western world, right? In places where the gospel has come to and has been perhaps in the past, maybe not so much right now, but in the past been prevalent. And you read of the accounts of times in which revival swept through the land. America in the 1700s. In Europe, Protestant, when the Protestant Reformation happened in the 1600s. Right, that is also a time in which relative peace and, yes, prosperity as well was enjoyed by them. And the lasting effects continued for the next number of generations. Why? Because the presence of believers has a sanctifying effect. As salt and as light in the world, we preserve or prevent, withhold the forces of evil from overtaking the world. But the Bible also speaks of an event where Christians will be all taken out of this world suddenly. What is that event? We're talking about the rapture, right? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we talked about that. That suddenly, in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, when the Lord returns in the clouds of the air, what happens? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Right? And they which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds of the air. That is the rapture, where suddenly all Christians all around the world will disappear, literally. I mean it literally, right? Suddenly gone. No more there in an instant. And what will remain? All the unbelievers in the world will remain. And that actually, if you think about it, is a terrifying time. All the restraining work of the Holy Spirit will be no more. And the Antichrist will be revealed. All these things will happen at once. And it makes sense why then Antichrist will be able to have such a global dominance and influence. Because he who lets will be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit's influence working through the church will be gone. Now, not to say that God will no longer be present at all in this world, right? Because God is always still and continually will be omnipresent. God will have his witnesses who he will raise in the time of revelation. There will be some ways and means in which God's witness can continue, but not in the same way as what we have right now, where there are believers all throughout the world, and that continuing influence and impact of believers throughout the ages continue to be felt. But in a moment, in an influence, everything will be taken out of the way. And imagine what an effect that will have on the politics of the world, where suddenly any Christian influence in the voters, in the leaders, gone. Who will arise? Those who will lean or tend towards lawlessness, isn't it? Towards sin, towards destruction. And that is when the Bible says that wicked shall be revealed. Verse 8, right? So until he, the Holy Spirit, is taken out of the way, and he will no longer be restraining, he will no longer be withholding, and that is when the wicked will rise. That is when the Antichrist will rise. there will be a completely new world system. And we cannot even begin to imagine how that will be in a reign of lawlessness and sin. That is a complete rejection of God and God's standards, of His holiness, His justice, His truth. Everything will be gone. And that will enter now into the time of the great tribulation. And that is a terrifying, terrifying prospect. To an extent, we see that happening all around us. Wars. The politics of the world is pushing further and further away from God on both sides. Whether you say, oh, this is the progressive ones, these are conservative ones, these are the ones, you know, that have some sort of sense of you know, right. They call it the people on the right of politics, but even today you see what is happening on the right side of politics. It is unbiblical, unchristian. Now, they may have some social conservative values, but it is not anywhere near biblical truth. And so all these things are happening right now. Global recession, chaos, what have you. And it seems that actually the world is just a step away, right, from complete and utter chaos. Who is it that is withholding? It is the Holy Spirit. But the moment the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, the moment Christians are gone from this world, what will happen to this world? Chaos. And the Antichrist will rise. And then the great tribulation will begin. For us, the comfort in the present is the Holy Spirit continues to work, continues to be our guide, continues to help us both as an individual, but also in the larger picture, society around us. So let us continue to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Let us continue to seek refuge and draw strength from God, knowing that He is ever in control. He's reigning on the throne. And while all these things are happening around us, we must and can continue to trust in He which withholdeth, to trust in God, and to be comforted by the fact that nothing happens that is outside of God's control. And so let us rest secure in the fact that the Holy Spirit is with us, guiding us, protecting us, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And as long as God is here with us on our side, there is no fear. There is no need to fear of what Satan can do and what Satan will do. But of course, it is also a solemn warning, right? That we, of course, do not want to be a part of the system of the world that will arise when Antichrist comes and takes his place. If we are true believers, we won't have to worry about that, because we'll be taken up and we'll be part of the rapture and we will be enjoying eternity with God forever. But if we are not, it is a terrifying prospect, one that we do not even want to begin to consider. So let us draw strength, take refuge in He which withholdeth. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this morning. We thank Thee for this comfort, for the fact that the Holy Spirit works in this world around us. He is withholding the mystery of iniquity. He is preventing lawlessness from breaking out throughout the world. And Lord, He is one who is in us, guiding us, dwelling within us. We pray that Thou will help us to be strengthened, to be guided, to always to live in accordance to Thy word and Thy will, being guided by Thy Holy Spirit in our lives. May You fill us with Thy mighty Holy Spirit, enable us to walk close to Thee, to do all things for Thy glory. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen.